Welcome to an ad hoc side pod chat.
Side pod chat is usually us talking to other people or other people talking amongst themselves, but this is just us talking to each other.
We've encroached on our own side pod chat and made it our own thing for today.
Well, we make the rules, so we can break them as well.
Lukey suggested this should be called Sit Down Saturday.
Lukey?
Sorry, Luke. It's different from Lukey. Luke Smith, sorry. Sit Down Saturday, that works for me. I am sitting down.
Yes, it is Saturday.
It's been a long, long time since we did any podcasting at all. And that, I have to put my hand up and say, that is all my fault. We've had lots of questions in the comments and lots of people inquiring as to our well-being on Twitter, wondering where on earth Side Podcast has gone to of late.
Which is nice because it means that, you know, they miss us.
People care. That's what it is. And I have to put my hand up and say, it is all my fault.
Yep.
I got ill. I had a minor, very, very trivial virus. And that left me with earache, which I've had. It's apparently
very
this is
trivial
normal.
Virus. You said you were dying from the man flu.
Well, yes, but it was a virus that lasted like 4 days, yeah. Which shouldn't put you out for the 6 or 7 weeks that we've been gone. And what happened is, my body trying to protect myself against the virus filled my head up with
Don't go into too much detail, please. Okay. Let's just say you've had very sore ears, which means you can't really do the podcasting.
It sounds kind
thing.
Of pathetic, but it's like a 6 week recovery period, and I'm just sort of at the end of it. And now my ears, I can wear headphones again, which is good.
Yeah.
My ears were really, really painful.
It's the kind of thing that there's nothing you can do about it either. You just have to wait for it to get
and
better.
Wait. And it's really, really inconvenient if what you do on a regular basis is say, record a podcast, you know, about Formula One, because it makes it almost impossible to do. And we haven't talked to Joe, and we haven't been able to do any shows, and we did one live show, and then we didn't do any more live shows. And you know, I feel really bad about that, because it was genuinely my fault.
It's bad timing, because we were just starting to get into some kind of routine. We had plans, and they all got washed
the plans.
Away.
Oh, seven weeks of my life, and the coding gone to, you know, it's all gone away.
We'll just start again at the beginning. Here we are, and we're ready to go.
I'm good to go. I'm 95% better, and I think I'll be perfect within a week, and then we can do lots and lots of cool stuff, because we've got lots of ideas. You know, all this time off has given us lots of inspiration and motivation and all sorts of things. We must discuss on this show what happened to your day.
Yeah, well,
are you here, in fact?
I was going to say, also, your sore ears meant that you couldn't come to Goodwood with me because of earplugs, and you don't really want to be around really noisy, loud cars and everything.
not with inflated eardrums. Inflated, they're not inflated. They're eardrums under pressure, and loud cars
inflatable
don't go.
Inflatable eardrums.
Yeah, it's not like
no.
Don't go down that route.
So I was going to go to Goodwood by myself. People were having a meetup. It was going to be awesome. I was going to have an excellent day. The weather is changeable, but the sun has been making an appearance, so it wasn't going to be too bad. I had plans. I wanted to take pictures. It was going to be ace. I didn't make it because the traffic was just impossible. I spent 4.5 hours trying to get there, most of which was stuck in a traffic jam. My car has never sat in first gear for so long.
And you are not the only one. I saw lots of people tweeting that they were struggling and they were late and it was the worst traffic they've ever seen. And Goodwood, how many years has the Festival of Speed been going on, and how is it that Goodwood cannot get their logistics together by now? Because 2 years ago, I set off to go to Goodwood by myself because you were busy, and I came back several hours later having sat in a traffic jam and got frustrated and got fed up.
Yeah,
two attempts we've had between us, and neither of us have managed to get inside the gate.
I stuck it out longer than you, but then I sort of came to the conclusion that by the time I got there, it'd be time to turn around and come home.
And then you just sit in a traffic jam all the way home again.
So
what a waste of a day.
To give it up. It was very disappointing, and I am quite gutted, and I don't want to talk about it too much because I'll just start crying, which is wonderful. I didn't get to see whether their management was any good or not because I didn't get anywhere near the place.
Yeah, but getting cars in and out, regardless of the weather or whatever problems. I mean, it always rains in England in the summer. They should know that the fields are going to get wet and muddy. They should be able to get cars in and out better than they did. We're hosting the Olympics in this country this month, in fact. I don't really have much faith in our ability to get everybody in and out on time. I think that just lack any kind of organisation skills in this country.
I was expecting to have to queue for a bit. We've been there before. We've been to Silverstone before. You expect to have to queue for these things, but 4 hours in a car is just too
and
much.
And going nowhere. Yeah. It did lead me to make a suggestion in the comments, though, that people may not... I don't know whether people will be behind this or not, but I'm thinking that us and physical meetups, they don't gel together very well.
The thing is, we don't do very many anyway. We rarely turn up to stuff because we're so rubbish at it. And when we do try, it just doesn't work out. So you said, let's ban all meetups is kind of the gist of what you said. But I think the people manage to meet up without us anyway. It's just we probably aren't even going to try in the future.
There is one more Sci-Podcast meetup planned for the end of this month. And I would like to say that that is the last official Sci-Podcast meetup I am going to attend.
Yes.
And I'm going to draw a line under meeting people in real life, because we spent, how much do you reckon you spent on Goodwood in terms of petrol and clothes and tickets and everything for this weekend?
Well, it's slightly embarrassing that we had to buy new clothes to go to this thing, because
we don't go out much.
We don't go out much. So that is, let's not dwell on that too much. We had to buy new shoes, etc., etc. It doesn't matter, that's embarrassing. The tickets, we knew one of them was, potentially not going to be used because you weren't very well. Mine, I was determined to use it, so that is 50 quid down the drain. Petrol is expensive, and that's gone too. Lots of people are saying, why can't you just take the train and things like that, but it's not. I am a control freak and I like to go places in my car.
The amount of stuff you have to take as well, you've got all your equipment, all your cameras, you've got your internet connections and things, because we don't just go to an event. We go to an event and we broadcast from the event, and it's not the kind of thing you can just pile into a train. So, from the amount of money we spent and the amount, 2 days, 3 days of organization, I know we skipped qualifying from in Valencia, in order to get organized for it because we had to go shopping. And I just think for the money we spent and the time it went into organizing it, we could have done so much more virtually. And the thing with a real life meetup is it kind of segregates people. It's the people who live in, it's normally people who live in the UK and usually just people in who London. Live in London. And it, to me, it just draws a circle around a very small number of people. And whereas we've got a live streaming server now, we can do online conversations and we can reach anybody in the world who's got an internet connection. And to me, the time and money and effort is better spent on virtual hangouts and live meetups. It just doesn't work for me going to places and meeting people. I'd rather you'd just gone to Goodwood if you'd wanted to go, and it wouldn't matter if you got there late and missed the meetup. It would have been less pressure and more fun for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, it's good. It's fun to meet people, and I don't want it to sound like we don't like meeting people, because it is always brilliant when you get there, but it's so hard to get there. And you're right. I mean, our tagline is all for F1 and F1 for all, or whichever way around it goes. And that meetup kind of thing isn't. It's sort of like all for F1, the people in a particular place at a particular time who can get there through the traffic.
All for F1 and all for all 17 people who it happens to be convenient for. Okay, then, well, whether or not people think it's a good idea to stop doing meetups, I would like to vote myself out of meetups after this next one. I just don't invite me, don't encourage me to go, don't even talk to me about meetups.
It's not stopping meetups, it's making meetups virtual and online and all inclusive, and everyone is invited. It's like, that way we can do more things with like the hangout and that kind of thing, make them even better. And I think that would be a better use of our time and money. Like, now we are spending time talking to people and broadcasting, which costs a little bit, but not as much as wasting a day not getting to Goodwood.
And the potential number of people to meet, you can converse with this way is massive by comparison. So, that's where I'm thinking. I'd love to hear people's feedback on that. I hope the people who did manage to meet in Goodwood had a good time.
Well, Goodwood is awesome when you get there. So, I mean, it's without question that people have had a good time. I've seen people have spotted Jensen Button. Lou had a picture taken with Daniel Ricciardo and Jerome D'Ambrosio. It's amazing, but you just have to get there first. You mentioned that we missed the qualifying in Valencia to go outside, but it was such a good Valencia weekend. No one was predicting that.
Ahead of the... Well, coming out, I'll tell you what, it started when we were done with Canada, because it was like, okay, that was a brilliant race. It's such a shame that we're going to go from such a high to such a low in Valencia. So the fear kicked in, I think, a week
almost
before.
Immediately.
Yeah, when Formula One fans can be quite negative. And there was a lot of... there was a bit of a despair coming out of such a good race in Canada that Valencia couldn't possibly live up to the hype until...
Well, it never has before. So we had good grounds for such
absolutely.
A belief.
We're cynical for a reason.
Yeah.
We're experiencing these ways. But when qualifying came along, as we mentioned before, we weren't watching qualifying. We were out and about. But we did follow from via the medium of the comments. And it was a cracking session.
Yeah, I think The first thing, as soon as you know that Mark Webber is out in the first session, that's all you need to know, really.
It's going to be interesting all the way. And it was sounded non-stop. It sounded like it was a really good qualifying hour. And then the race, well, that just exceeded all expectations. Did I hear there was more overtaking in this year's European Grand Prix than in all of the other ones?
All combined. Of the others put together.
Every single Valencian Grand Prix combined, the overtaking didn't match what we saw last Sunday. We were spoiled.
Yeah, and it was also full of incidents, lots of drivers crashing into each other. I thought it was fun, not fun, but that the Toro Rossos crashed with the Caterhams. It was like they were magnetic to each other.
Mm.
It was always Toro Rosso and Caterham.
I mean, up and down the field, there was passing. I thought Alonso did a fine, fine job of overtaking on what is essentially a very wide street circuit. And it's not, Valencia is not known for its overtaking opportunities. He made some really good passes. You had, all down the field, there were so many good drives. It was very hard to pick anyone.
I was a bit moody afterwards, though. I was in a bit of a strop because Grosjean, he was doing so well.
Did you think he was going to win it? Did you think we were on for an eighth winner?
He might have won it. But he fell by the wayside. It's kind of ironic, I suppose, because he was only in that position of a potential win because of Vettel's failure, and then he had the same one. So
Have we got to the bottom of what the exact problem was? I know Renault put out a press release admitting that it was their fault and they were looking into it, but do we know why?
That's all I need to know, really. I'm not buying a Renault car.
Just because of... Oh,
they were mean.
They weren't mean. They had an unfortunate incident that saw the French driver miss out on a win, and I'm sure it hurts them a lot more than it hurts you.
Yeah, that's probably very true.
There's a lot of pride was lost in that failure.
But I don't think Grosjean is too upset because he got married this week, didn't he?
He did. Do you know what? If we're going to talk about that, I'm full of the jingles today.
Oh my God, you found a machine, haven't you?
I've had a lot of time on my hands, but yes, Mr. Grosjean.
Well, congratulations to him and his wife. I think, isn't she on French TV or... She's a French TV presenter or something. She's very pretty, and that's great.
The thing,
wonderful.
No, Grosjean's off the market.
Yeah.
The thing is, when there was the one fact that I knew about. Do you mind if this music just carries on in the background?
Well,
by the way,
You could fade it out.
No. When Grosjean first came into F1, when he replaced Nelson Piquet Jr., the only fact I knew about Romain was that he was dating a paddock person, someone else who was already involved in Formula 1. And I was a bit disappointed when he left at the end of that year, because obviously they wouldn't be together as much.
Oh, bless
you. They'd
aren't
be apart
romantic?
More. Yeah, and it's good that he's back in Formula 1 and he's doing well in Formula 1, and now she's finally made a man of him.
Is she still in the paddock then?
Yeah,
I've never seen them together.
I don't know if I've seen them together, actually, but she's still working for... Is it TF1 she works for? We're talking about Marianne... Oh, do you know what? I went down...
Marianne Grosjean.
Did she change her name?
Well, she has now.
It's something like Jolie or something.
For the purposes of our memory.
Right.
She has.
Mrs. Grosjean. That's who I'm talking about. Of course. I think she still works for TF1. I do believe she was in the paddock at the weekend, and they are both very happy. And so are we for them.
Aww. Yeah.
Am I playing my music again?
No. We were talking about predictions and how no one could predict that Valencia would be so good. My predictions are getting worse and worse. I had the first race of the year. I got that right. I said Jenson Button would win in Australia, and he did. Since then, I've got nothing right. It seems like I went through a bit of a period where I said the driver and his teammate did well. That seems to have fallen by the wayside as well. But in Valencia, I almost got it right. I said Vettel, and he would have won. Again, I'm not buying a Renault.
In 8 races this year, have any of your official predictions come true?
Just one.
Which was?
Australia.
That was it?
Yeah.
You started on a high, and then you've never been anywhere since.
That sounds about right.
So what are you predicting for the next race?
God, I haven't thought that far ahead yet.
I don't care anyway. It'll be wrong. I will say, whilst on the subject of Vettel, where did that pace come from?
Worrying.
Earth happened. Have Red Bull found something that they had last year? Have they fixed whatever was missing at the beginning of the season? Because that guy found an awful lot of pace that couldn't possibly have just come from himself.
Yeah, he had like a 4-second lead in the race in about the first 2 laps or something. It was ridiculous.
He pulled himself out of the DRS zone before DRS became enabled.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that since Vettel last year.
Yeah, it is worrying. But then again, it does seem like each track is so specific that various teams' competitive levels go up and down depending what track they're at. So it may be that it's not going to be a dominating thing for the rest of the year. It might just have been a one-off at this circuit.
I'm not convinced by that.
I'm telling myself
I think that, I mean, we couldn't tell because Webber started so far back, but obviously he He climbed his way up the field with a fast car.
Yeah.
And there was some good driving from and good overtaking from Webber too. But I do think that the Red Bull have found a car advantage somewhere.
Yeah, it is slightly concerning. And how he went and dominated in qualifying, whereas we were just starting to complain that he wasn't taking part in qualifying enough. And then he does. And look what happens. I'm pretty sure that I brought that on all of us.
I blame you for everything.
Yeah.
Everything this season, by the way, it's all your fault.
That's fine. I can go with that. It's also probably worth a bit of a brief discussion that Massa looked like he was doing really well. Was it in Monaco? He looked like he had found something and perhaps wasn't going to be as embarrassing all season.
For two laps in Monaco, Felipe Massa was faster than Fernando Alonso.
That is impressive. But for only two laps, and then since then it's gone downhill again. It's so depressing.
Canada? Well, yeah, okay, so Monaco, it looked like he made a step forward. But it's a unique track. So it's very hard to tell whether or not he got on top of the car or the car just happened to work very well there and he could live with it. In Canada, I thought he had more pace. Didn't he get into Q3? He certainly did well in qualifying in Canada. And then threw it all away with a silly spin, which possibly could be excused on the fact the car is still very hard to drive and he still doesn't like the car. But he managed to throw it off the road. That put him at the back. And then that was his day done. But he still had pace, except for the silly spin. And then we came to Valencia. Where it looked, he qualified on par with Alonso.
Yeah, but
pace,
they were both out of the top 10.
But it's such a close qualifying. You can't hold those kind of margins against the driver. That's one turn of a wheel. You know, that's one corner. That's one, you know, miss braking opportunity, whatever. That's such a tight field. I can't really hold that against him. But he didn't move forward in the race.
No, well, Alonso went on to win it from outside of the top 10. Massa, he crashed, didn't he, with Kobayashi? Or Kobayashi crashed into the back of him, so that wasn't necessarily his fault.
It was all that accident was all Kobayashi's fault.
But he was in the zone of Kobayashi in the first place. Mm. And
which
that's
Alonso
always
wasn't.
The problem.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, I would like the guy to do well. I don't think that there is any side effects from his accident in Hungary 2 years ago. I don't think that's the problem. I just think he doesn't like the car as it is and he can't live with the car. And also, Fernando Alonso is his teammate and that's the worst situation to be in when you're struggling with the car and Fernando can drive around most of the problems. I really want him to do well at Silverstone, but we know Silverstone is infamous for bad weather and it's, you know, it's Massa's bogey circuit. It's the place where he spanned five times. We watched him spin five times at Silverstone.
That's where five Massa spins came from.
Mm, so, you know, if you've got your fingers crossed for the guy, that's not the great. It's not a great circuit to follow up, you know, to follow up. But then after Silverstone is obviously the place where he nearly was able to win a race last year, which is Hockenheim. And so maybe let's assume that Massa's going to do badly at Silverstone. But following that, he's going to have a blinding race. And then I think his season will be back on track. It'll be too late to do anything about his season. But at least I would just like him to finish the year well now. I'd just like him to have some nice drives. I don't want to see Rob Smedley with his head in his hands.
Yeah.
Depressed that, you know, it's gone wrong again. Is that too much to ask? Just keep it on the track. Keep it together, Felipe. And finish the season with at least a little bit of pace.
Massa is being completely outclassed by Alonso at the moment. And this year, it seems like Hamilton has got the edge on Button for a change.
Well, is that Hamilton doing well or is that Jenson Button just completely all at sea? Because Button won, what, the first race?
Yeah, my prediction. I got it right.
He did well in the second race. It all went wrong. And I've commented this on Soap Podcast, but I'll repeat it on the show. Because I don't think I've said it on an actual podcast. There was a brilliant quote from Jenson Button ahead of the mid-season test where he said, I'm not bothered that our two test drivers are attending the test. I don't think there's much to learn from going to Mugello. And since that quote, his entire season has undone itself. His pace has fallen off. He can't work the car. Whatever they did to... I think they raised the nose in the test. They changed the way the car handled and it suits Lewis Hamilton just fine, and since then he's gone better. He's got a race win under his belt and he's happy with the car, and Jensen isn't, and I genuinely think that missing out on that test has hurt him. I think they've changed something in the car and you know, against his better judgment, and he's now playing catch up.
Yeah, we debuted some new charts on the site for after the European Grand Prix, where we put the driver and the team standings up on this site. We also have graphs underneath and you can now interact with them. They're clickable. You can select which drivers you want to look at and compare. And it's really interesting to compare teammates. So if you select Hamilton and you select Button, the difference in their championship progress so far is amazing, because Hamilton goes up and there's the occasional blip, but he's generally on an upward trajectory. But Button, it goes up a little bit, and then for the last five races, it's completely flatlined.
But then, you know, compare Alonso to Massa and you've got the most shocking teammate comparison in Formula One. But, you know, that is what it is. Journeyer has pointed out that we should discuss Schumacher.
Okay.
Because he got on the podium.
He did.
And I didn't.
More by luck than judgment.
Was it?
Well, I don't know. Everyone else retired.
Yeah, but... Well, that is true. Okay, fine. Without two retirees, he wouldn't have got it there. But he did better than Nico Rosberg, who started ahead of him. I think Nico had an anonymous Valencian Grand Prix, and Schumacher outclassed him.
It was quite fun at the end of the race to watch Schumacher and Webber just going through the field, overtaking car after car, because it was like they were trailing one car after the other. You know, towing, that's the word.
They stopped at the same time and were on similar... Well, they were on the same tyre strategy and similar amounts of rubber, and they had more pace than those in front of them. You have to say that Schumacher has suffered a lot of bad luck in recent races. Was it the previous race when his DRS wing managed to get stuck open? That's the first time we've ever seen a DRS wing stuck in that position, and it happened to Michael Schumacher.
Yeah.
And finally, when you think he can't get any more luck, he can't find any luck, he manages to pull together that weekend. And that's all he really needed. He just needed some quiet races where things went well for him.
Yeah.
And he managed that and he got on the podium.
But I don't think... I think it was a good weekend for him, but I don't think it's like a sign of things to come. I can't see that he's going to go on and win a race this year.
Mercedes aren't as fast as Lotus. And you'd have to still put Kimi down for a race win before Schumacher. But...
No, Grosjean.
Well, that's an interesting point. Grosjean is actually doing a much better job than Kimi, isn't he? Kimi has not been the comeback king thus far. Grosjean has the pace, and he was in the position to win. And where was Kimi? Like fourth or fifth at the time?
Yeah.
He's struggling.
Just because he got on the podium as well, because we had a podium of Schumacher and Raikkonen, the two comeback kings.
Mm.
But I still think that Grosjean is doing better, and I said it in the comments at the time that there is no justice in this world that Grosjean doesn't have a race win, and Pastor Maldonado does. I hate him.
Pastor Maldonado?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just do.
He's not very good, and I'm stunned that he managed to fluke that win, but I don't hate the guy. He's an adequate race driver.
He just crashes into people for no apparent reason, ruins people's races. He crashes and ruins his own races. Poor Williams. I mean, I know they need the money, but my God.
Poor Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Too, who essentially did nothing wrong. I mean, he put in such a great drive. In Valencia, he didn't have the fastest car. He was on for a podium, and in comes Pastor Maldonado off the track, flies back on, and takes the poor guy off.
Yeah.
And what can you do? You know, Pastor Maldonado got what, like a 25-second penalty or something, for rejoining the track in an unfit manner, and nothing for ruining Lewis Hamilton's day. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was quite disappointing.
In the comments, Ryan said that Rosberg has been anonymous all season, aside from China. Mercedes are quite unexciting. They are. Yeah, the thing is, I was really excited by their DRS solution that stalls the front wing at the beginning of the season. And it's all gone quiet on that front since. They've not dominated anything. I thought that, you know, I thought this was going to be their year. I thought they found something that I had with Braun GP. And unfortunately, they haven't pulled it together again.
No, I put them right in the same class as Force India and Caterham. All three teams promised a lot. It looked like they were going to be amazing. They were going to make massive strides this year. And so far, nothing.
No.
Well, Caterham haven't got their point, although they are creeping slowly upward.
I'm looking forward to see what Caterham bring to Silverstone. They say they've brought, I think they brought half of their upgrade package to Valencia, and they've got more to come.
Yeah.
So let's keep our eyes on them. They should be one to watch. There's got to be points in that Caterham some point this year, isn't there?
They're getting there. And considering how quickly Toro Rosso are falling backwards, they might be able to move up the order a little bit faster if other teams around them are falling backwards. Although Marussia have their first major upgrade, like forever, also coming to Silverstone, so they might improve.
The first upgrade in a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
After how many years in Formula One?
It's like three.
They finally figured out that they needed, well, not only did they figure out they needed a wind tunnel, they actually found one they could afford.
And how to use it.
And yeah, they figured out how to use it and they've got something coming. So
they read the manual.
Going to be something. Yeah, Silverstone is going to be a race to watch, I think.
In the comments, Will said, is the Marussia upgrade a proper reserve driver?
Harsh.
Well, but harsh fair. But true. Timo Glock and his illness meant they only had one driver at Valencia. One driver at a time for them.
So is this an ingenious cost-saving measure? You bring on a third driver who has no right to be a third driver, cannot fit the bill in any description. I mean, you'd be as good a third driver as Maria, because you have just as much of a super license as she doesn't. And therefore, they only had to run one car during the race. That's a massive cost saving in terms of parts and fuel and potential damage. And they're not going to score any points anyway.
It's quite a lot of pressure on poor Charles Peak, though.
Well, maybe he could be ill for Silverstone and they could keep alternating throughout the year and just run that one driver. Yeah. And I'm sure HRT have got their eye on that system and thought, hold on a second, you know, we could have all sorts of... It's amazing the amount of illnesses you could come up with if you need to.
Are you allowed to only run one driver for an extended period of time, or is there a rule that you have to run two?
That's a good question. I don't know that. I don't know.
I know that you can't run three, much to Ferrari's disgust, but I don't know whether you have to have two.
It's a shame that nobody else could be bothered to stump up a third driver to help Virgin out, because, you know, you've got other teams with spare.
Well, they obviously didn't want them to.
No.
Although Pedro de la Rosa, he's tied up at the moment with his own drive, so Super Sub couldn't come in.
He is usually the man to look to, but I'm sure McLaren would have someone on standby. You know, there are other teams, there are other third drivers out there who could have been called in. And that wasn't what Virgin wanted to do. Marussia, not Virgin. That wasn't what Marussia wanted to do. Not Virgin anymore. For a long time, there has been a desire to run a Grand Prix in London. And I think I read somewhere this week that it dates way back to the 80s. And I think Autosport ran a competition back in the 80s to design a racetrack around London. And the prize might have been to see a virtual mock-up of it, or what would back then have been a model mock-up.
What a prize.
Yeah. And some other stuff a long, long time ago. That was, I think, the beginning. And since then, there have been a lot of interest and excitement about getting a Grand Prix in London. Now, conceptually, I love this idea.
I like the idea, but it does seem completely impossible. You can't shut down London.
Yeah, you can. You can. If there's enough money and enough interest and enough support, you can do anything you want.
What about
all Singapore?
Like the traffic lights and speed bumps and...
Yeah, but, well, the speed bumps are an issue. You'd have to dig them up. Although I think actually that's happening in London anyway, because they're not good for the environment. Speed bumps are bad generally.
Right.
Not only for Formula One cars, but for all cars. So that is going to happen regardless. And I like the idea of a Grand Prix being in London, because it's near the city, it's near transport links, it's not in the middle of nowhere like Silverstone.
Yeah.
And Silverstone is the definition of an old school Formula One circuit that is barely suitable for its purpose these days. So I'm up for that. However, Bernie hijacked Santander had a competition a similar competition to Autosport. They've brought it back. They revamped the idea. Yeah, they had a competition. I think there was a designer circuit and somebody won it, and then they were going to run a virtual lap around it. And I guess Jenson Button won it in his virtual car, and it wasn't predetermined at all in any way, shape, or form. whatever. But Bernie decided to hijack that in order to reduce the flack he was potentially going to get from what's going down in the legal system in Germany. He offered to pay all of the race fees for a London Grand Prix, which is utter tosh. The idea of Bernie Eccleston paying anything to anyone for the good of Formula One is the most nonsensical thing I have ever heard in all of my years of following this sport.
That never happened, surely.
There is such an utter load of codswallop. I cannot believe that the Times printed such rubbish. And that is the end of it. At that point, I gave up any interest in what Santander were doing. Because once Bernie hijacked it for his own media
which
manipulation
really
purposes.
It's unfair on them.
It is on there. Yeah, I mean, they were just doing a competition and they, you know, it
he
was planned
it.
For months and months and months, and he managed to cause enough confusion and whatever. I mean, it's just utter rubbish. Silverstone has a contract from here to eternity.
It was 17 years. But we also know that contracts don't mean all that much.
Well, no, but this means less. This means a lot less. You're not going to have two British Grand Prix. It's not going to happen. this country, there's not enough interest in this country for the one, let alone the two. I mean, the British government don't want to help this one. There's, nobody is interested in helping Bernie Eccleston, thanks to his the bribery, not the bribery case, that's a different case, thanks to his, was it an allegation? There was another allegation with the government and tobacco sponsorship.
All allegations, just gloss over them. Okay. Let's not talk about anything.
Anyway, the British government have no interest in talking to Bernie Eccleston about anything, and that's why there isn't going to be a British Grand Prix in Silverstone, and that's why largely why the government aren't supporting the existing British Grand Prix at Silverstone. And all in all, it was just a terrible week for confusing. And I mean, it's unfair. The thing is, all of this is unfair on fans, casual fans are the people who are going to lose out here, because they're going to, you know, you're going to open the newspaper and say, oh my goodness, wouldn't it be brilliant if there was a Grand Prix in London? Wouldn't that be fantastic? And you think about it and you dream about it, you go, yeah, that'd be great, and you discuss it. And in actual fact, all of the discussion is for naught, because it's never, ever, ever going to happen, certainly in these circumstances. And that's disappointing for fans to get their hopes up over something that is so completely unlikely to happen. It doesn't even warrant that discussion.
But I think that happens all the time. There's always talk of, oh, there might be a race here and there might be a race there, and this is really exciting, let's do this and let's do that, and hardly any of them ever come to fruition.
It's not realistic. No. And this was another case. I mean, whatever, I didn't follow what happened to the Santander thing, because it was all ruined. It was ruined by Bernie. So, and Jensen may have won it or whatever.
I have a really good tenuous transition now. Earlier we were talking about Caterham moving forwards and Torosso falling backwards, and that was the subject of Ryan's latest article on his feature, 107%. And whilst we're talking about features, we also have some new ones.
Okay.
Do you like what I did there?
Yeah. I do like, though, the new columns more than anything else on Side Podcast. I think they are fan blooming-tastic, and they are a credit to all the people writing for them. I mean, what have we got now? 5 columns and still more
waiting
up
in the wings,
and there's more coming. It's turning out to be one of our better ideas and our better implementations.
The two new ones we've got, Talk on Corners by Chris, who writes about recent speculation on things. So the first one was about who might replace Massa at Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And so who might be in the frame for a potential new job somewhere. That's what that's all about. And I think we've had 3 possibly articles, and they're all brilliant. I love that. I love that speculation, drivers who might go where. That's always fun. And the other one is Class of the Field by Adam, who's been writing sort of driver of the day posts for us for a while, and now it's made the transition to a feature.
That's excellent. That's a good plan. That's a good system as well. We start people off with simple blog posts, because features and columns, they take a while to get to pull together.
It's good in 2 ways, because it takes us a while to sort all the admin side of it out, and for you to make a fancy header and all that kind of stuff. But also it's good for the writer to get a bit of practice to make sure that we're all on the same page and everyone, you know, is happy doing what they do.
You've also missed out, I think, it's been so long since we've done a live show, I don't believe we've mentioned Stevens.
I think column. We did, but we can mention it again.
Do mention it again, just in case I'm right and you're wrong.
Safety Matters by Stephen, all about, well, safety matters.
F1 safety. It's incredible the amount of enthusiasm that columns are receiving. If you go to Side Podcast homepage, top right is a list of all the latest articles from all the columnists, and every single post, I think they're averaging about 1,000 words per post. They're exceptional exceptionally detailed amount of writing. It's the kind of thing that you can go along and say, I've got a lunch break and I would like to read something about Formula One, something insightful and entertaining and interesting. That is the place to go, because they are much longer, they're more well thought out than an average blog post on Side Podcast. It's in-depth information, and the interesting thing is, if you look at the most of the comments that these columns are reading, the first couple of comments are always, you know what, I agree with everything you said. I've got nothing to argue against here, because you've thought through everything. And I agree, or, you know, some people agree or disagree or whatever, but the crux of the matter is, these are well-reasoned articles, and I love everybody who's putting in so much effort into them.
It's about time you had one, really.
It's on the list. I will have one, but it might be next year before. I mean, we've got so many. If we'd have started columns and you had one and nobody else, then I would have felt some pressure to maybe start my own. But given that we can't keep up with the demand that we have,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like a
you
column
are last
for me
on
is,
the list.
Is necessary right now. So I think 2013 before my first column, judging by the amount that is still to come. And there's some good ones to come. I know that what we've got lined up for July, August and September, I think, it's all queued up for new columns. So do keep an eye on Side Podcast. And if you don't mind waiting a bit and you fancy being a columnist and you fancy putting in you know, the effort required to write regular, lengthy articles on Formula One, for a site such as iPodcast, then do get in touch with Christine. And how might people do that?
There are so many ways. You can email me, christine@sidepodcast.com. You can tweet me, @MrsChristine, or you can use the contact form, which is on sidepodcast.com/contact.
And still amuses you by the sounds of it.
Oh, I'm so happy. Also, while we're talking about contacting us, we have a sort of vague new idea for a short show.
And I've forgotten that.
I have called it, which is quite inspired, Ask Side Podcast. Now, the name, you know, I'm open to suggestions, but that's what we're going with at the moment. It's a working title. And the idea is it could be a short sort of 10 minutes or so where people ask us a question and then we answer the question. And it could be a serious, you know, fact-finding mission, or it could be for our opinion, or it could be, you know, something weird about Formula One.
And so this is, if you have a burning question in the back of your mind that you haven't managed to answer yet, you can't find the answer on the internet, you'd like us to investigate it?
Well,
or you'd like our opinion on it?
All of the above. Any kind of question. I'd hope the answer would be on the internet somewhere, otherwise I wouldn't be able to find it either. I'm not a genius.
Okay. It's worth mentioning that this idea was, or this, the idea first came about at the end of last year.
The idea came to me because I think it was Relaxed Driver sent a question to us that we were going to feature in a an F1 debrief, and we never had time to do it because they kept getting really long, the shows, and it was sort of an abstract thing not related to one of the races. So I put that aside and thought, that's a really good idea, we could have a special little show that we could do more frequently perhaps, and because it's shorter. But it never came about, and now I want to bring it about.
I think it kind of shows how hectic this season has been in 2012, because it's been non-stop and we just haven't had, you know, it's not for want of trying, we're trying to squeeze it in, and almost by announcing this on the show, you'll put yourself under pressure to do something about it.
Well, yeah, but also you've been ill and it's your fault.
So
if people have questions, you can contact us in the same way that I just detailed.
Okay.
Email, Twitter, or via the contact form, sidepodcast.com/contact.
It's easy to find Christine online. It's not so easy to find her at Goodwood. Aside from this ad hoc show, then, are we back with Feed Up Friday this Friday? Are
hopefully.
We fit and healthy enough to do a regular live show?
Yes. I mean, when you say regular, don't promise weekly or anything, but hopefully...
More often than never?
Yeah. Hopefully you're feeling better and we can do this more often because it's fun and I miss it.
Okay.
I miss talking to you. I miss talking to the people. And, you know, it's just too much fun not to do it. And
we are set up and we are ready to roll. I do love that, although we don't have a huge amount of people in the comments right now, we don't have anybody complaining about buffering. So
yes.
I think we probably fixed the live streaming problem and I think life is good. And even Basana can listen in the car. So, you know, we're ticking all the right boxes.
We're getting there.
I'm happy with what we're doing. Dan said, is there another Aside with Joe planned? I hope so. I think he's just given us a rest so we can recuperate. So maybe
we.
Me. It has to be a group thing. When I, you know, it's... there's not, no
like,
support. Do I no support?
Is it win together, lose together? Is that what it is?
Well, could be occasionally.
Yeah.
Joe Show soon, hopefully. We'll see if we can ask him.
I think he's probably been a bit busy as well.
He's been all over the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots and lots of stuff. Lots to talk about when we do catch up with him. And so, yeah, there's plenty going on Side Podcast. Is there anything else we should mention? You mentioned the graphs. People must check out the graphs.
They're so good.
Race charts. That's very interesting. A lot of fun to play with. They look great on your mobile because we put loads of effort into doing that. Live shows are back. And yeah, it's all go at Side Podcast.
Apparently, Kai is doing a track day at Lime Rock on Monday.
We need a blog post.
That sounds
all
like great fun.
About that. Definitely. I don't know if you can take pictures whilst doing a track day. Your hands are kind of tied up.
Yeah.
But if you don't have any pictures, we definitely need to hear a story about it. I think Kai started off the your stories about karting and becoming a race.
Yes,
driver.
It would
what
be
was
like
it
yeah, it would be like an update to that because we heard how it went before.
I'm sure she started it. I'm sure it's her discussion. But yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. Please do keep us informed. So that's it. We are done. We are done with this podcast. We are done with this live stream. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I hope people had a better time in Goodwood than you did. And I'm sure we'll hear all about that soon. And we will be back for more live shows when we are back.